produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and we look forward to being able to share a message with you on this episode of Power Up Your Family. As always, in the days and weeks that have been in the past, just a lot of turmoil in the world, a lot of crazy things happening throughout our nation. It seems like hostility, wars, rumors of wars, belligerence, animosity, seem to be the rule of the day. And I was thinking about, the two great commandments, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor. And I often think, well, who's my neighbor? And obviously we usually think, well, our neighbors are family members, our friends, people we work with, go to school with, our next-door neighbors in the neighborhood, and that's all well and fine, but there's other kind of neighbors. If we're walking down the street and we come across someone who's obviously in distress, isn't that person my neighbor? Should we be mindful of their circumstance and to love them? And then what do we do to demonstrate that love? Well, love is an action verb. It's not just a passive thought. To love someone means that you are willing to make sacrifices and to do things for them and to show them that you genuinely care about them. And so most of us are relatively okay with the loving our neighbor part. I think most of us know we have room for improvement. But there's another commandment that the Savior gave us. When we read Matthew 5:44, he said this: love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I don't know how often you have taken the time to ponder on that, to think it through. So many people get their feelings hurt. It could be a simple thing at church or a neighbor or a family member or someone at work. And there's that hurt turns into anger, and that anger turns into carrying a grudge. And many times that lingers with a person for days, weeks, months, in some cases even years. We've seen that even within our own family. And it's sad when an individual carries a grudge of animosity towards someone else. It's kind of like the old adage of drinking a bottle of poison and hoping that it does something to the other person. Because anger and hate and animosity eat at the very fiber of who we are. And obviously, it is not a good thing. So as we power up our families, we need to be mindful of the fact that we should be doing the things that help our children understand that which is important in terms of avoiding bad behavior and bad attitudes and to not have grudges and animosity toward others. So we're going to talk a little bit about how do we go about loving our enemies. Now, each Sunday, the Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square have a broadcast known as Music and the Spoken Word. And this past Sunday, Lloyd Newell, the host, shared the following message as part of the spoken word. He said, God gives each of us a limited supply of time, and for the most part, we choose how to use it. The writer, E.B. White, once said, quote, one of the most time-consuming things is to have an enemy. And yet, we get very little good in return for nursing a grudge or ruminating over a past offense. Surely, there are many more positive and productive ways to spend our time. So why do we do it? We live in a stressful time with political unrest, financial concerns, and anxiety about the future. When we feel worried or afraid, we are more likely to react with a short temper, sharp words, or hasty judgments. And when that happens, it's easy to become offended and to make enemies. Of course, there's another way to react to the worries and fears of our day. It begins with considering that other people are worried and afraid too. The person who was impolite or inconsiderate might be carrying burdens we can't see. Instead of taking offense, we can strive to extend comfort and compassion. This isn't a new idea. It's simply another way of stating what the Lord taught when he said, as we mentioned earlier, quote, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Imagine what could happen if, instead of harboring resentment, you reached out in some way to someone who offended you. For one thing, you'll probably surprise the person. More than that, you might begin building a new relationship. In fact, the best way to defeat an enemy is in seeking to make that enemy your friend. We can't control how others will respond to our outreach, but the very effort, no matter how people receive it, helps to make the world a bit kinder, a bit more understanding. Our compassion reduces the anxiety around us and brings peace and unity into our conversations. What a wonderful way to spend the life and the time God has given us. I was impressed by that message by Lloyd Newell, and it reminded me of just how important it is to take seriously this admonition of the Lord to love our enemies. Because we know in the world today there are plenty of people that have divided themselves from others and enemies abound. But you know, violence and senseless, indiscriminate slaughter seem to be on the increase. And we cannot attribute it to any particular madness, to the actions of the mentally ill, typically. More often, these are the actions of hateful, malevolent individuals. Hatred is defined as an intense hostility and an aversion usually deriving from fear, anger, or a sense of injury, and malevolence is having or showing a wish to do evil to others. In Jesus Christ's time, where he grew up in Palestine under Roman control, where the Roman way was to avenge any insult or slur on one's character by seeking revenge, Jesus taught a better way. Indeed, the only way to truly defray and decrease the hideous and mounting tensions that exist in today's similarly inclined world, in the New Testament and in the Americans, Jesus commanded his followers, quote, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of his judgment. And behold, it is written also, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and pray for them who despitefully use and persecute you, that ye may be the children of our Father who is in heaven. I always admired the peaceful approach that Dr. Martin Luther King was able to master with regard to dealing with those who persecuted and abused and hated him. You know, he understood the consequences of violence and hatred. During the American Civil Rights Movement, he pleaded, quote, "Violence as a way of achieving racial justice is both impractical and immoral. It is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending in destruction for all. The old law of an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. It is immoral because it seeks to humiliate the opponent rather than to win his understanding, to annihilate rather than to convert." So are today's acts of violence and hatred easily resolved? No, obviously not. There is nothing simple about the, quote, turning the other cheek, about acting with love and compassion. It takes enormous collective will and enormous individual self-control. Especially difficult in a world where manners and morals are progressively degenerating. Our media-infested world saturates us in increasingly grotesque images, leaving us awash in blood and gratuitous violence. It socializes us to coarse and degrading language. Far too many rationalizing and masking venomous words as merely matter of free speech. We are encouraged to sexual immorality, which is not love but lust. Such overt displays of passions indulged, rather than the self-restraint and discipline essential to safe, caring, and compassionate societies, are increasingly indulged. Is it possible to turn the quarter on hate and violence in today's world? Yes. Will it be easy? No. What is needed to realize a peaceful world? Certainly, institutional reform is critical to changing the way we think and act. The media in its myriad forms, public figures in politics, military, sports, education, and parents in the home, can and must play a part in decrying hatred by toning down their own rhetoric and actions. However, the crucial change necessary to achieving a global course correction is individual change. Mahatma Gandhi understood the truth of Jesus' words when he affirmed, "You must be the change you wish to see in the world." Think about that. You must be the change you wish to see in the world. A loving, peaceful world can be achieved if each of us looks inward, considers the state of our own heart, commits to heed the Savior, and works tirelessly to remove and decry any seeds of hatred, animus toward others. So, it's up to us individually to master this and to overcome hatred and to love our enemies. There's a common phrase that's used a lot of times in drive-through restaurant operations where someone up ahead pays for the food for the person behind them. That term we call is called pay it forward. Well, so how does that analogy work in this instance? Well, if I am cordial and friendly to those who I meet, even if they're rude and abrasive, I can be an influence for good. And that can be every day, every day, every day, everywhere I go, every interaction I have with whoever, whether it's a family member, a work associate, a school classmate, a neighbor in the neighborhood, or anyone I meet walking down the street or in a business location. Every time we interact with someone else, we have an opportunity to pay it forward by being cordial, cheerful, friendly, and showing that person interest, an interest in them, by being attentive to them and recognizing them, and perhaps even paying them a compliment to help them feel good. Now, will everybody respond in a positive manner? Probably not, but I challenge you to try it, and you will be surprised I can't tell you how many times I've come across someone who really looked down the dumps, and by applying some of these principles and actions and words, I could see a change in their demeanor. And I felt like when we parted that they were in a better frame of mind. And now think about that. That person maybe in their next encounter helps to build someone else's self-esteem or helps them to be mindful of why they should be happy. And so that spreads and compounds and multiplies throughout those contacts. Kind of like that analogy of a pond when you throw a rock out in the middle and these little ripples come across and they circle and they're circular and they go out and they spread and they go further and further and further. We, as Mahatma Gandhi said, by us being the change we wish to see in the world, in our own small little way, can have an impact for good. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, there's something in the teachings of Jesus Christ that is worth contemplation for anyone who seeks to be a better person. His urging that we love our enemies, not just love thy neighbor, which in itself can be difficult, but love your enemies. That's a powerful message, and it turns out one of the greatest challenges in life. Why is this message an important one, even if you're not a Christian? I'm not here trying to discuss Christian teachings, but to address universal problems found in every human being, no matter what your religion or non-religion, and this is a universal problem. The hatred we feel for other people, hatred that wells up inside of us and causes destructive actions for people who might have harmed us in some way, but in the end are fellow human beings who we must live with in a common society. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it is one of our doctrinal principles that we believe that we were created by our Father in heaven as his sons and daughters in a premortal life as his spirit children. Which means then that when we come to mortality and receive a body of flesh and bone for our spirit to inhabit, everyone that we come in contact with, the entire human race, if you will, are literally our brothers and our sisters. And so therefore, loving them should be a priority, and obviously not hating them should be critical in how we go about living our lives. So this idea of loving thy neighbor, it was not taught only by Christ, but by Buddha, Gandhi, and many other great people and religions. It still might sound a bit grand or preachy, but let me bring this down to an everyday level. Is there anyone in your life who you hate or just can't stand? Maybe someone who just irritates you to no end. Do you resent and feel bitterness towards? And if so, are you proud of that? Does it make you happy? I'd submit that most of us have someone like that. In many cases, multiple people in our lives who cause us anger or hatred or at least resentment for something they've done in the past. I'd also submit that the anger, hatred, and resentment that lives within us is destructive and is counterproductive. So let's explore this idea a little more if you're interested in what does love your enemy really mean. Well, it's probably pretty self-explanatory, but I thought it would be good to be clear. Quote, your enemy, close quote, doesn't just mean the enemy of your state, of course, or we're not talking about terrorists. We're talking about people who you really dislike in any way. Who are these people? Maybe someone who has picked on you or called you names or disrespected you in some way, causing you anger. Maybe you hold a grudge against them. Maybe a family member you've had a big fight with. Maybe you've been angry at them for some time. Maybe someone who did something horrible to a loved one, from physically hurting them to hitting them with a car to scarring them from a damaging relationship. maybe a teacher, a coworker, or a boss who is mean to you. You get the picture. And what does it mean to love these people? Obviously, it's non-romantic love, but there's a lot of different kinds of non-romantic love. There's the love you have for your children, your siblings, your parents, your best friends. All of these are different in some way. Then there's the love you have for someone who just did something wonderful for you, whether that's someone you know or a complete stranger. There's the love for a child you've never met but who somehow pulls at your heartstrings. There's the love for your fellow human beings. And this is the love that I'm talking about. Have you ever felt non-sexual, non-romantic love for another person who is not a family member or a very close friend? Maybe they did something really nice for you or another person. Maybe you're just feeling really great about humanity right now for whatever reason. Maybe this is an incredible human being who inspires you or changes lives or volunteers to help the powerless. Love your enemy is to find in your heart to put aside any wrongs and to love them as a fellow human being. You don't have to love them like you love your parents or children or best friend. Just have loving feelings toward them. And if possible, express it through words or by doing something nice or with a smile. I know, it's not easy. Picture the person you dislike most and see if it's easy to find that love for them. Imagine someone who murdered someone you love. That would certainly be an enemy. Could you find in your heart to love that person? I know that would be the most difficult thing in my entire life. Which brings up the question, why should I? Mother Teresa said, the hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. So again, why should I love my enemy? It might sound too corny for many of us, and if so, you might not even be reading, you might not be listening with me on this concept because the idea might not be for everyone. After all, this person, my enemy, has done something horribly wrong to me. Why on earth would I want to love them? What do I get out of it? This isn't an easy question, and I won't be able to explore all the possible answers that perhaps would take an all-day seminar. But let's look briefly at a few strong reasons. Number one, you'll be happier if you have anger or resentment inside of you, even if you don't think about it all the time. There will be times when it surfaces, and that makes you unhappy. It's destructive inwardly. It eats you up, and outwardly you might do destructive things to others. That anger also affects others around you, such as your loved ones, who are most likely affected in some way when you are angry. Even if the anger isn't directed at them, removing this anger from yourself is a positive thing, and it will make you happier overall. Number two, you could change that person's life. Your enemy is a human being, and it's very possible that your hatred of that person is a source of grief, tension, or hatred in them. Now, that might feel good to you in a vindictive way, but if you look at it objectively, removing your feelings from the situation, hurting another person is always a bad thing. Making them happier is a good thing, and interestingly, making someone happier, no matter who that is, can make us happier. Next, you can make a friend. One of the most powerful effects of learning to love your enemy is that your enemy can become your friend. And while it is counterproductive to be fighting with an enemy, it does hinder your progress. It is very productive to add new friends to your life. They can help you accomplish things. A new friend, instead of an enemy, makes an incredible difference. And if that enemy is a family member or former friend, reuniting can be extremely powerful and important. You set a better example for others. Our actions set an example for other people in our lives. If you have children, for example, they learn from anything and everything you do. Teaching them to hate is not a positive example. But teaching them to overcome that anger and hate, to make up with an enemy and to love, There is no better example in life. Next, it's better for society. This one seems obvious to me, but it's important. One little relationship might not seem to make a difference to society as a whole. Who cares if I hate another person? But if we all hate other people, it creates a more divisive and fractured and angry society. I see the effects of this everywhere, from media and culture to politics to business to families being disrupted. And the opposite is true. If we can overcome that hatred and learn to love our neighbor and our enemy, society is better in so many ways. And lastly, it's a test of you as a person. This might not be important to many people, but for me it is. I like to think of myself as a good person, but how good am I? If I am just loving my family and friends, that's extremely easy, usually. But a better test of your goodness is if you can overcome feelings of hatred or resentment and turn them into feelings of love. That's a true challenge, and it's a lifelong challenge. Remember, Martin Luther King said, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. I believe that. There's much more we could share on this topic, but our time is coming to a close. So I just want to summarize by saying that I know that this idea of loving our enemy is one of the most important goals that we can establish outside of all the other things that we set goals for. Because if we can focus on loving our enemies, we will be a happier person. We might change someone else's life. And ultimately, we hope to make society and the world a better place. And I testify of these concepts and of these principles in the holy and sacred name of our Savior, who gave us the commandment to love thy enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.